This is Marketing Jam, a show featuring the brightest minds in marketing.
As we get going into our show, I want to talk about SEO quickly. This whole search engine optimization thing. People are frustrated by it, confused by it, and probably not really getting the straight guidance about how it works. Back when we outsourced our SEO, we're often confused when we get the reports back. It seemed like a dark art. They were rubbing some sort of oil on our websites and supposedly magic was happening. When we started using Ahrefs, it was a game changer. The reports we got, the clarity on site ranking for terms, and really the transparency and understanding between offsite and onsite SEO was really helpful. Today, for all of our clients, we provide Ahrefs reporting and use the tool to audit sites. It's the premier SEO tool, and you can have the confidence you're getting the top quality tool that provides incredible support and resources to help you with your SEO for your brand or the clients you work with. Check out ahrefs.com today. Welcome to another episode of Marketing Jam. I am so excited and thrilled because this one not only includes an in-person experience, but we brought some props along. So those of you that are listening to the show, you're gonna hear some sound effects as we will be eating said product that is going to be marketed and is being marketed and has been marketed. And so we actually get to taste the wares. It doesn't often happen like that. So Darren, thank you for being here.
No worries. Happy to be here.
Yeah.
Exciting.
So we've yet to have actual product from a brand. So we've interviewed Starbucks, but we weren't drinking Starbucks. That would have been a nice kind of piece to add to it. Mm-hmm. And even Lego. We interviewed Lego, but we weren't actually playing with Lego during the interview. That would have been cool.
Love Lego.
Yeah, right?
Love Lego.
Right. So why don't we jump right in? Sure. Tell us what we have here that we are eating that you've chosen for us today.
So we are eating Little Big Bread.
Okay.
A Silver Hills staple.
It's, yes.
One of our better sellers. People love it because it's a slightly smaller slice of bread. Still amazing taste. Cut a little thinner, so you feel like you're getting a little bit less. Mm-hmm. Heft in your sandwich or on your toast.
And 55 calories per slice.
And so therefore 55 calories per slice, good for people who are counting calories.
Yep.
Available all across the country and including Costco, which does a great business for us.
And my kids who prefer the inside of the sandwich, yeah. You can put a bunch of stuff in it, but yet it holds it well.
Got good structure, and that's because of the way that we make bread with sprouted grain. So what did we put on this? I've got cocoa.
You got Fatso Cocoa High Performance Peanut Butter out of Victoria is where this is made. And I went for today, I went for some Elias Honey. It came out of the bear's head. So toasted and delicious.
Amazing. So good.
So tell us about the other brands and kind of what we got going here and the look and the feel.
So Silver Hill's been around since 1989. Mm-hmm. Actually started in just outside of Vernon.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Okay.
At a wellness spa. And so we got a couple of products here that have been long staples. Squirrely bread is kind of the original Silver Hills bread with its coating of sunflower seeds, and the Big 16 has 16 whole grains.
Yep.
The original recipe came from our founder, Brad Brisson's mother.
Oh, wow.
And he was at the wellness spa making bread for people at the spa to help them with their health.
So it was just healthier bread.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the people in the area loved it so much that he started making the bread in the spa for more of a community.
Because typically you go to the grocery store, it's whole wheat or white.
Right.
Right.
So this is a sprouted grain bread. And what sprouted means is that we take the grains in their whole form, put them in water for a period of time, 24 hours or so, and it starts to sprout just like a seed would, right? It starts to germinate.
Yeah.
We take those germinated seeds and we throw them through a roller mill, crushes them up a little bit, and we use that mash, as we call it, directly into the bread. So you're not getting, this is not a flour-based bread.
Yeah.
That's why it's a little heartier. That's why it's a little healthier for you, because we haven't knocked all the nutrients out that grinding wheat into flour dust causes. We think it's better for you.
Yep.
There's lots of great work out there in terms of testing on what that does for higher level of nutrients and easier absorption into your system.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's a fun brand to work on.
And all of the bread covers, like the bags, are all different, like different color, different illustration.
Different color, different illustration, so they're easy to find, jump off the shelf.
Yep.
We did some great work with an agency called Characters back in the day who delivered this this change, and we've run with it with all of the seven or eight different varieties that we've got out in the marketplace today.
Because it's the first time you go down the bread aisle, or in my case, you're at Costco, and all the breads are the same. It's like a typical logo, kind of old-fashioned looking, and then you come to Silver Hills, and it's fun. It seems vibrant, and it's almost like a bread for every different type of lifestyle.
A little bit like that, yeah. We want people to be able to find something that delivers on the needs that they have for their diet and their health and well-being. We want to be part of that solution. We don't pretend to be the answer, right? Changing your bread to Silver Hills is not going to solve all your problems, but it is going to help you on that path, that journey forward that you're on to eat better.
Okay. So here's the thing, bread and butter, right? And the bread of life, bread is used in so many kind of analogies and terms. It's been around for ages.
Best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah, right? Right? Yeah. And so how and why do you even need to market bread? Help me understand that.
Well, I mean, I think with a product like this, it's so different. I mean, you think about bread from when our parents were growing up, right?
Wonder Bread.
Wonder Bread.
Yeah.
Right? And if you look at my checkered history, you'll see that I once was the VP of marketing for Wonder Bread in Canada. That product is highly processed.
Yes.
Meant to be very soft and fluffy and easy to...
It'll last forever on the shelf, right? Years?
Could, yes, potentially.
Yeah.
This product is different, right?
Okay.
It's heartier.
Yeah.
It's healthier. It is not the same eating experience as what people have grown up with and are used to.
Yeah.
And so helping consumers to understand why it tastes different.
Yeah, okay.
Why it's a different eating experience and why that's a benefit for them is the challenge. We also use organic grains. And other organic ingredients, so it's an expensive product to sell relative to other breads. And so helping people understand why they're getting good value when they buy our bread is another challenge that we're chasing down every day.
And so in that kind of quadrant, the four quadrants of value versus cost, right? You guys are kind of going the high cost, high value quadrant.
High cost, high value quadrant for bread. I mean, you're still under $5 a loaf.
Yes.
You're not going out to buy a Gillette razor, but on a relative basis, high cost, high value.
And are you seeing people respond well to that? Then are they saying, I want to change my lifestyle a bit? What if I just upgrade my bread?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's been happening for 5, 6, 7 years. The company's been in double digit growth year after year after year for many years.
Okay.
That's a combination of increased listings. We're available across Canada.
Yeah.
Most retailers now, either in the fresh or in the frozen set, but we're expanding across the U.S. as well.
Wow.
And that growth and that desire for retailers to bring in better for you options, we've been a part of that wave that's been happening really since the early 2010.
Okay. And trends with people working from home more, being at home more, grocery shopping looking a little bit differently. How are you guys staying on top of it, and what are you guys working on?
For sure, with people staying at home, they're definitely eating more bread. We see that in all the general market data, not just in our own, but people are going to the shelf, and I think they're being pickier, not just in bread, but across many categories, and we're a beneficiary because they turn the bag over and they look at the list of ingredients, and it's as much what they see as what they don't see compared to other products that causes them to give us a try.
Yep.
And then we think the product performs, of course, really well as we be working on fixing that. And so they keep coming back because it's worth the money.
I love the line someone told me once, where if you can pronounce all the ingredients, it's probably good to eat.
If your grandmother would recognize what's in it, you're probably okay.
Yeah. And for you, to get to the position where you are now, what was the journey like, and what was some highlights that you want to...
Sure. So I have a fairly... classic marketing path. Right? I went to university in Ontario, for Laurier, and had a great time there. Go Hawks!
Nice.
In my third year, a buddy of mine who was in fourth year said, "You really need to apply to the summer internship at Procter & Gamble.
Oh.
They have a great marketing department." Yeah. And I looked at him and said, "Yeah, but I'm going to law school. I don't need to go work at PG.
Yeah.
Listen, this is right up your alley."
Yeah.
No idea. And I spent the summer working for an amazing boss, and was totally converted to marketing as a career choice because it wasn't what I thought it was. It wasn't making pretty pictures, which I have no ability to do. was about taking data,
yeah,
understanding the consumer,
yeah,
and setting strategies to push businesses forward. Wow. So I started with Procter out of school.
And what products were big back then? What was the, if you can remember?
So, the products I worked on were not the big products.
Okay.
I was lucky enough right out of school to work on Pepto-Bismol and Metamucil, yeah,
okay,
which did not create great at-home conversation.
Yes.
But you know, it was the time when Procter was launching Febreze and Swiffer.
Wow.
Bringing a whole new line of cosmetics, mm-hmm, with Olay Cosmetics. So there was a lot exciting, okay, going on.
Yeah.
It was the first part of the digital revolution, right? Should we have a website,
yeah,
or not?
That's
how old I am. I worked for a number of other companies in Toronto, as marketers often,
yeah,
do in that area. But I was lucky enough eventually to end up working on the Gillette razor business. And
oh,
I made a reference,
yeah,
to the merger.
Yeah.
It is an expensive product, but,
yes,
but again, high value, high cost.
Yes.
But I was there with the launch of the Fusion razor, which,
yeah,
is an amazing learning experience.
Yeah.
Ended up at Weston Foods.
Yeah.
You know, Country Harvest, Weston,
yeah,
all of those brands. And when I was finished there, I was looking for something different,
yeah,
something that would challenge me,
mm-hmm,
and something that was a bit of an adventure. Mm-hmm. And I ended up finding a role with Nature's Path Foods.
Very cool.
One of the largest organic cereal, yeah, companies in North America,
yeah,
here in Vancouver. So moved the family out,
yeah,
here and have lived in BC since. That was an amazing 6-year experience,
mm,
family run, some of the nicest owners that you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
And then I got the chance to go to Silver Hills to kind of expand that knowledge of,
yep,
of working in the space of health, better for you products.
Yeah.
Back to some of my bread roots from,
yeah,
from Weston. And boy, the Smith and Brisson families are some amazing folks to work for.
That's
as well,
cool.
And I've really enjoyed.
So two families that own the...
Yeah, when Brad was scaling up the company,
yeah,
Stan and Kathy came along,
cool,
with some business assistants, and they've been partners ever since, and,
yeah,
and all of them still work on the business every day.
And they have a bakery as well. You guys have an actual bricks and mortar.
Mortar bakery in Abbotsford,
yeah,
you know, where we've got, you know, 350 people working 6 days a week to,
yeah,
make the best bread that you can buy in Canada.
Yeah.
In my humble opinion.
And then tell me about the actual like cafe that people can visit and like go.
The Sprouted Oven.
Yes.
In Abbotsford,
yep,
on McCallum Road.
Mm-hmm.
It's part bakery.
Yeah.
It's part cafe. You can get gluten free and non gluten free sandwiches,
nice,
for lunch. We also sell some really, really delicious desserts. That you can buy by,
yeah,
box or individually.
Yeah.
It's really a great place to go. And one of the things I have mentioned is that everything we do is vegan.
Yeah.
So you know, if you're a person who's looking for a vegetarian or vegan option,
yeah,
that whether it's our breads or that cafe,
yeah,
some of the most delicious treats that you're going to find, oh, in the world,
awesome,
mainland.
And the cafe kind of helps you keep a pulse on kind of what's trending, what sells, and what people are asking for.
Definitely use it to say,
yeah,
you know, hey, help us, because the chefs over there are always coming up with new and,
yeah,
amazing ideas.
Yeah.
What's selling? What do you see?
Yeah.
And they're very great partners with my marketing team for us to bring ideas,
awesome,
to the folks that are coming into the store to say, hey, try this and tell us if you like it or,
yeah,
not.
Yeah.
It allows us to filter stuff that our R&D team is coming up,
yeah,
with really easily.
So besides the cafe, what do you do to kind of keep your finger on the pulse of like what's trending, what's working? Like, should we be doing something on TikTok? Should we not? Like,
yeah. So I use a number of different sources. I listen to a lot of podcasts.
Okay, nice.
I walk my dog every morning.
Yeah, yeah.
I got an hour with the dog.
Okay.
I got lots of opportunities,
yeah,
to feed my brain with a number of different sources.
So not just fun podcasts like crime and
not
murder mystery.
Fun,
okay, okay, okay. So what shows do you listen to?
So I love the Under the Influence podcast.
Oh, he's great. Terry O'Reilly.
Terry O'Reilly's storytelling,
yeah,
is fantastic.
Yeah.
I listened to The Beancast, which,
mm-hmm,
is really good for kind of agency,
yep,
brand interactions. I listened to Marketing Over Coffee, which,
yeah,
is really good for the tech space.
Yep.
And then I listened to a lot of more general interest, knowledge-based,
yeah,
casts like Stuff You Missed in History Class,
yes,
or Stuff You Should Know, to,
yep,
just broaden the,
yep,
broaden the base and make sure. And so, you know, those marketing podcasts are really good for what's going on in the zeitgeist and what we need to be paying attention,
yeah,
to. That's one source. My second, probably my biggest source is frankly my team.
Yeah.
They're young.
Yeah.
They're far more in touch with what's going on in the world, and they're going to come up with new and smart ideas before I will.
That's cool.
And so one of the things that Proctor taught me was the reason you bring in new people on the ground is to listen to the new people on the ground floor.
Yeah.
So I do. I try to. That's cool. Anyway. And then I spend time, you know, reading industry newsletters or, you know, when I'm permitted to go out to conferences virtual conferences, whatever it happens to be, just to keep filling the brain up.
That's awesome. So if you could address, and maybe you've actually done this before directly to someone, but if you could share kind of a best advice as a brand to an agency, right, to have a really good, healthy relationship and all your years and experience, when you've seen it work really, really well, what are those key factors that...
So I'm going to say there's three things. I think to the degree that you can make the agency as knowledgeable about your business as you are, they're going to bring you ideas that fit with where you're going and why you're trying to get there. I think the second piece is trust.
Yep.
The reason that you hired the agency is because they're smart.
Yeah.
And you want them to be doing their best work. And so you've given them the opportunity to do their best work. And I think the third thing is, from an expectation setting, what does success look like?
Yeah.
And how are you going to measure it?
Yeah.
And you got to come together on the right frequency to say, are we hitting those goals?
Yeah.
And if we're not hitting them, how are we going to get there? And if we are hitting them or over-delivering, what can we learn so that we can go even further in the future? And I apply that philosophy to the people that work for me as well.
Yeah, okay.
If we're not hiring adults, we can do the work, then why are we bringing people in? Right?
Yeah.
If we're going to micromanage them,
yes.
You know, eventually we'll be able to outsource all that to AI. We want thinkers.
Yeah, very.
Not just doers.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So I'm walking down the shelf, or a person's walking down the shelf. How do you, what do you think is going through someone's mind when they're trying to decide between bread, or have they already decided the type of bread they're buying, or tell me about the kind of thinking you guys have.
They have. And so part of our job is to interrupt that thought process with a new idea.
Before they came in the store, ideally.
Before they've come in the store.
Okay.
We don't believe that someone is going to walk into the bread aisle and browse.
Yes.
The bread aisle when you're shopping is place that you go because you know what you're getting, so that you can get on to the places that are more fun to browse in the grocery store. So we've got to shake people out of that before they get there and basically get on their list, which is why we spend a lot of our time and resources on awareness building.
Yes.
And when people are out of their homes, try.
Okay. Like the
food and mouth.
And during a time when maybe grocery stores aren't allowing that as much.
Yeah.
Have you found an alternative to trials in it? Like try a little sample.
Not really.
Okay.
One of the benefits of people working at home is that our business is doing well
yes.
at the moment.
Yeah.
And so we haven't really needed to try to figure out how to step change the performance of the business, but we're thinking about it at the moment because there's going to come a time when we have excess capacity and we want to fill it up, and that's marketing's job.
Yeah.
How do we get it into their homes?
Yes.
When the product only has a 10-day shelf life.
Yeah, because the day you mail it, 10 days, right?
Yes.
For them to receive it eventually, because the post, it's a lot of mailing going on, and so they're, can they get it there? And then will they open it and eat it in time to have the freshest, best experience?
Yeah.
Or do you send them into a local grocery store with a coupon or some sort of...
And so those are the kinds of things that we're going to be working through to figure out, do they work as effectively as we need them to?
Yeah.
And does it help drive our business in a positive return on investment way? Because if we're spending money to not make money, then we're not doing our jobs.
Yeah. My conversion experience, I can share this, was we had a friend visiting and staying with us for a few days. And they made breakfast one morning and made squirrely bread as a side with the eggs and, all the thing. And I remember eating it for the first time and thinking what is this? It was an experience, right? If you're used to, maybe low cost, kind of low nutrient bread, you eat it and it was incredible. The way that it was toasted, the way the butter melted into it. And it was I just felt good eating it. And it tasted incredible. it was all the different flavors, the different like textures. Like it was kind of like an elevated bread experience, right? And then finding out you can get it sliced. It wasn't just something, because typically a good quality bread like that is something you get in kind of a big loaf. You got to slice it yourself. There's only a few people that make it. It's this artisan and it's really expensive.
Yeah.
But it was like this nice marriage of like, hey, good quality and healthy, but yet easy to eat and consume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. And that is the experience of so many people when we hear from them that they tried something that they found unexpected.
Yes. Yeah. It was very
outcome.
Yes.
That caused them to
take a second look and really understand if they're making changes.
And then I fell in love with the Little Big Bread because, again, it was just this fun experience to like I love eating sandwiches. It was convenient. It was easy. And so I could just eat a lot more sandwiches with and because the Little Big Bread, you know, Little Big Bread was just so useful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Without being so or as high in calories. Yeah. It's a really interesting innovation. People love it.
So I know we don't really have many like 6 or 8 or 10 year olds that listen to the show. That's other podcasts. But if our inner child was to be on the show, you know, wanted to ask a question, is it possible to make bread without crust?
It is not possible.
But you know what I mean? Every 6 year old wants to know.
Take the crust off.
Yes.
Too much chewing for me.
Okay.
But sorry, mom and dad out there, it is not possible
to
make bread without crust.
Okay. Have you ever been asked that before? Is that a.
I have not.
Okay.
But I have enough. There's great research and development people in the company, and I've been walking through the process of what it takes to make bread. And no, I do not believe it's possible to make it so crust.
Yeah. And that would be a fascinating, like, I don't get it. It's like the whole Heinz ketchup when they put out the puzzle. The ketchup puzzle is all red to put out a limited edition series of bread that is crustless for all those picky kids.
And you have to be cutting it off in the plant. Maybe there's an efficient way to do that that I need to figure out.
And then use the crust for
croutons.
Yeah, croutons. There you go.
Yeah. Okay, it's a business model. We're done.
But how many parents want to continue to coddle that in their children, right? But
yeah, I think if I let them my near adult kids get their crust cut off.
Yeah. I'm not a pizza crust guy, but then when Panago introduced the dipping sauces, I was like, this is pretty awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, are you having trouble tracking inbound phone calls from your website or ads? CallRail gives you the call tracking you need to measure the success of your marketing efforts in real time. Discover how many calls you receive from your Google ads, organic searches, social media efforts, and so much more. But that's not the only reason we use CallRail. CallRail seamlessly integrates your call and conversion data with over 700 marketing tools and platforms, including Google Analytics and Salesforce, to fuel deeper insights automatically. Start your free trial today with CallRail. So anything new that's kind of coming down the pipe in the kind of bread world or trends that you're seeing that are?
Look, we see tons of interesting trends out there. Yes, I think there are. The one that we are the most excited about, I think, is the continued trend towards organic.
Yeah.
So we have some organic products in our line. Consumers seem to really respond to them.
Yeah.
We think we can go even deeper with organic products and organic ingredients.
Yeah.
Not just because it's a consumer trend, but from a health of the environment, health of the consumer, organic is a tremendous way to make some small changes that resonate off into the marketplace.
That's great.
Right? If you decide that you're going to buy organic products, it'll be more organic.
Yeah.
Ingredients grown.
Yeah.
And that's a positive cycle for the environment and frankly the economy.
That's awesome.
Farmers.
Yeah.
Farmers are more profitable than they are organically, which is one of those little known facts. It's hard sometimes to make that conversion.
Yeah.
But boy, if they can get there, there's some good there's some more stability in the financial model
for organic farming. And do you think, like, when you go through the process of managing the brand and decide, okay, do we become a B Corp? Do we get this symbol on our bread? Do we go for that licensing thing? How, like, do you process that and think, how do you decide what to go for and what not to?
It's the consumer at the end.
Okay.
Right? We spend a lot of time talking with consumers, whether that's in the Sprouted Oven or when I'm shopping in White Rock and I'm allowed to talk to people out in public.
Yeah.
Asking them questions.
Yeah.
What matters to you?
Yeah.
What do you look for when you're shopping?
Yeah.
3 years ago, Stan and Kathy were particularly concerned about glyphosate, the desiccant that gets used on wheat to control weeds, but stays on the crop.
Yeah.
They were concerned about that.
Yeah.
So we spent some time trying to figure out if consumers were concerned about it. They are.
Okay.
And so we've now got all of our products certified zero glyphosate.
Wow.
And we're testing those concerning ingredients every time we get them into the building.
Yeah.
You have to spend some time deciding to add an additional logo to your bag.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah.
You don't want your bag to look like it just came off a NASCAR track.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
But when it's important to the consumer, you want to bring that front and center for them so that they know that it's a choice that you've made to help protect their health.
Yeah. Because I'm even trying to think, like, Ben & Jerry's is a B Corp registered. But I don't even know if they have their B Corp logo on their ice cream. I think you just eat it because it's good ice cream.
They don't. And I think they did it because it was meaningful to ownership.
Yeah. Versus just trying to put another sticker on something.
Yeah, and I think there are things that you do because it's important to ownership.
Yeah.
Vegan principles for our ownership group are critical. And so we won't make products for consumers under our brands that contain eggs or dairy or anything else like that.
Yeah.
We want the consumer to have a delicious vegan alternative to choose from.
Yeah.
And while we put that on every day, we don't spend a lot of time as a critical message for consumers. So you do it because it's the right thing to do, not necessarily because you need it to be a business drive.
Yes. So your audience, would you say that you've got almost like the discerning shoppers who are kind of critical and think through everything, they shop at certain grocery stores only because they know that grocery store is also a discerning buyer, right? And then you've got the mass consumer, you're at Costco, you're just trying to survive, get through, and or Superstore or wherever they go. Does marketing look different to each of those audiences, or is it a similar message to both?
It's a similar message to both.
Right.
And I think that more consumers are falling into that discerning camp. Yeah. Certainly, all of my experience with Costco consumers is that they spend a lot more time thinking about what they buy.
Yeah.
Than you might expect them to.
And we're getting more educated. Like my wife and I, who, the news, the awareness, everything, right?
And that's our job. That's our job as marketers, is to help people on their journey.
Yeah.
Help them understand what they're deciding to buy in the store matters, kind of in the short term and in the long term, for health and how we can be part of that. So we don't really differentiate our marketing other than we're constantly trying to make aware. So maybe if I was being a bit self-critical, I would say, well, we're talking to the people who don't know about it yet, and maybe that's more of a mass group because the people who figured us out, they figured us out.
Yes.
So we don't have to spend as much time talking to them about why.
So is it the whole model? So do you ever partner up with like other vegan brands to just bring more and organic brands to bring awareness generally to the world?
So we're involved as a broad organization in a couple of, we certainly on all of our brands, we partner with other like-minded brands.
Yeah.
Tight milk and cheese comes to mind.
Yeah.
When we're at trade shows, we're constantly using their products and they're using ours and various foods. But we're also part of some trade associations that are promoting the benefits that we feel are important. For example, members of the Organic Trade Association.
Yes, and you in the trickle-down effect of when all people think eat organic,
right?
You benefit.
A rising tide lifts all boats.
Yeah.
And we want to be part of that. And that means more organic competition in the bread space.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah,
because the consumer is the one at the end of the day winning from that.
Yeah, which is a really smart way to look at that.
I think so. Yeah. Organic's like 4% of the U.S. Yeah. I don't have the U.S. numbers at hand, but 4% of the U.S. market.
Yeah.
So if that becomes 6 and we get our fair share, then our business is growing by 50%.
Yeah.
So.
it's not easy to get organic, to say you're organic. Like, it's working.
No, it is one of the most stringently regulated food structures in the world.
Yeah.
The paperwork that farmers, the producers, the distributors have to do to maintain an organic certification is substantive. And there's nobody in the organic sector who's complaining about that because it's that substantive regulation that protects us from accusations that it's meaningful.
Huh.
Because we can go and point to the work that has to be done to prove that it's meaningful.
Wow. If you could go back to yourself, say like maybe 5 years ago, And I'm thinking of even the brands that are getting into the organic, you know, world, and kind of the health food space. What's your advice, the kind of marketing advice to say, hey, man, I wish I'd done this, or I wish we did more of this, and to help out some kind of up and comer?
Sure. I think you need to focus on the thing that differentiates you.
Yeah.
Like every business prop ever has said. Mm. And the models that I've seen work the best, you win in the area where you are, and then you grow that circle.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So if you're launching in Chicago,
yes.
Win Chicago and then grow.
Yeah.
Use social digital tools.
Yeah.
To focus your marketing dollars on that victory and build off that.
So you guys
retailers are amazing. They will respond to results.
Yeah. Okay. So if you can say, hey, look what we did in the Lower Mainland, then BC, then Canada, then the US.
Correct.
That's kind of your,
Now we've been on a 30-year journey to make that story rather than a, you know, hopefully much shorter journey for startups today.
Yeah.
But I think it's that winning locally, improving out the business model so that you have stories to tell, whether to consumers or to retailers as you try to grow, not just about your product, but its acceptance and its value to the marketplace gives you a better chance.
Okay. Was maybe like one of the favorite campaigns you've done that you were like, man, you're really proud of, you thought it was really neat or creative or... Even like maybe a PR win or something interesting.
Yeah, I did a campaign with Campbell's Soup when I was working on the brand Campbell's business in the early aughts, where we put print ads in newspapers when it got cold. So based on local temperatures, we were running It's Cold, Eat Soup ads that I thought were really clever. When I was a very young assistant brand manager, I managed to get Metamucil sachets into drugstores as a sample. It's hard to do with a drug.
Yeah, very hard.
And I remember going to visit my grandparents and my grandmother saying, "Not this at the drugstore, Darren. Did you have anything to do with this?" And there wasn't anything in the creativity of it. But the fact that my grandmother noticed.
Yeah. She finally figured out what you do for a living. I'm like that with my own parents. Like, what do you do? Yeah.
Was a huge deal.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And then I've had ads that, we'll go into great detail, but I've had ads that have made people angry.
Yeah.
That have had a bit of a social message.
Yeah.
And that anger made me feel really good.
Okay.
It meant the social message was getting through, even if it was getting through to people who didn't want to hear it.
Because then, you know, it was heard.
It was heard, and the fact that it made people angry and upset people said that maybe that's the right message to be telling to people in this day and age.
That's great. So for you, apps that you can't live without, what's your kind of go-to?
Apps that I can't live without.
A little life hack that you thought.
I referee.
Yes.
I'm a hockey referee.
Yes.
And I can't live without my Hockey Canada rule book app so that when coaches yell at me, I can say, here's the rule. I cannot live without, my wife would tell you I can't live without a bunch of different games on my iPad.
Oh, nice.
That I use a little bit mindlessly at the end of the day to wind down.
Apple Arcade, or is it just going to be?
No, it's the most ridiculous things, right? It's Sudoku. It's solitaire.
Yes, yes.
It's match three games. Ridiculous.
Yeah, but it gets
embarrassingly pedestrian stuff. And then I love my banking apps, right?
Okay,
the fact that I don't ever have to leave the house to do almost everything that
it's
I want to do.
You take a photo of a check now.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So it's amazing how quickly we've gone from what's an app to apps controlling most of what we do.
Oh, yeah. It's right? Wild. It's wild.
Yeah.
Okay. And then for you, any sort of life hacks that you like, man, this is a thing that helps me with, whether it's work or personal.
So, you know, over the last, you know, 6 months, we've been spending a lot more time at home.
Yes.
It's amazing what getting up and doing an hour worth of exercise does for your focus and your ability to get things done during the day. I was about the opposite, but six.
Yeah.
I got to get after my day and I got to get work done. But spending an hour to go out, me and the dog on the roads of White Rock, that focuses the mind, allows me to spend more time listening to podcasts,
and using
my hopefully valuable knowledge. But it's that exercise, getting the heart rate up, allows the mind to focus better all day. It's an amazing thing that I've learned.
That's great. 6 months. That's really cool.
Yeah.
One of the things I love, Terry O'Reilly went and started a podcast production company. And he's got some great new shows about We Regret to Inform You is one where it's about people that just never kept failing, and then finally made it.
Okay.
Like the Back to the Future movie script that just got rejected by all these studios. And I love it because it's this whole show about just people who failed tremendously and then the win they got in the end.
You know, I'll say the other life hack that I've learned, I wish I'd known about that show because I'm going to have to go look for it. The other kind of life hack that I've learned is that media is endless.
Yeah.
And you've got to curate what you're gonna enjoy because otherwise it will take over your life.
So how do you do it? What do you?
Well, I'm at the point now of like a retailer, right? One in, one out.
Yeah.
Right. If I pick up a new podcast,
yes.
Then I've got to push something else out the door at least in the short term. So, you know, kind of less valuable or less interesting stuff. I just have to say sorry. We have to break up now.
Yes. And it's one of those like. Yeah, how often do you kind of clean out your apps on your phone, right? And how often do you actually delete them?
I haven't used this app in a year. It's got to go.
Yes, right? Apple actually has that now. It actually tells you what apps you haven't used. It's fascinating.
The only apps at the moment that I have on my phone that I haven't used in a while are travel apps.
I'm you and many others.
Air Canada would like to know where I've gone.
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw this campaign. I can't remember what country it was, but you can just take a flight and it just goes up, flies around, and then comes back to the same airport. Just remember that missed flying.
It was, I don't miss flying.
No, I know. I was like, who is in the position where they miss flying that much?
Just pay for the privilege.
Yeah.
Of going up in the tin can.
It's just and pretending. Whatever. People fears of flying, and maybe the thrill. Maybe people just love the excitement of it.
Nothing better than a good landing. I don't know.
So okay, help me understand this. At 1.2, the runner. You have a runner on the cover of the bread bag.
Yeah.
You had an actual known runner at 1.0. Is that correct?
That's my understanding.
Okay.
Predates me.
Predates you. Okay.
Yeah, we did have a person who was using our products and you know, a sponsorship. And,
okay.
You know, it ran its course.
Okay, because often it's almost like you see Nike shoes with Jordan.
Yes.
It's not often you see a runner who has a sponsored bread, which is...
You know, one of the things that we know about this product is that it's really good for people who are trying to maximize their
nutrition. Yeah.
Right? And so it was a... It felt at the time, I think,
yeah.
The team was there like a natural partnership.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've kind of gotten away. We can do athletics all day long if we wanted to, but that's not really where our target consumer, that's not her core zone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we want to be as relevant to her as possible.
Yeah. And who would be, how would you describe your kind of person? Who's buying this?
Well, so she's, you know, she's got kids, family.
Yeah.
She's knowledgeable about food and interested in learning more and spends time thinking carefully about what it is that she's going to feed her family and why.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? So she's thoughtful about how she's going to make her selections. And so we see our job as helping her on that path, not just about how to choose bread, how to do that, but what's the nutrition information that she needs to help make her life easier, better, and how can we be a part of
that? So instead of just seeing a fancy ad and a goofy ad and a convenient ad, she wants an ad that says, hey, here's some facts for you. Here's some nutritional information. Here's kind of the long-term benefits of...
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Which is just challenging to do in the kind of media environment.
Oh,
it's a complex message. So we really have to bring people into our ecosystem and get them talking to us and having a conversation with them rather than giving them the 15-second elevator pitch. Because the 15-second elevator pitch rarely does justice to the complexity of what we have.
And how do you do that? How do you get a conversation with a consumer these days?
You know, we spent a lot of time and effort on our content strategy.
Yes. Okay.
Our social media curation.
Mm-hmm.
In our community management.
Yeah.
And we're trying to draw people into those pieces through our digital media buying.
Okay.
To help them understand that there's something that they want.
Yeah.
And if they come to us, then we'll continue to provide it.
Yeah. And venturing and kind of working in America versus Canada, are you seeing much of a difference or is it similar?
You know, a lot of where we're having success at the moment in pseudo-Canadian thinking,
yes.
right?
Yep.
You know, on the coast,
yep.
people who are shopping in Whole Foods, yep. Sprouts, farmers markets.
Yep.
But from a retailer perspective, we're seeing more interest in expanding that knowledge
yeah,
okay. across the country.
Yep.
And those retailers are seeing the benefits of the trade-up.
Oh, yeah.
So we think it's going to continue to expand. And it's going to be more challenging because I think there's a little bit more skepticism in the U.S. market that we're potentially going to have to overcome.
Yeah.
But I think we have such an easy story to listen to, even
yeah.
if it's a little bit long-winded at the moment,
yeah.
that we can get there with those consumers.
And one thing I want to ask you, marketing organizations, yeah. what's kind of your advice on those and belong to them and what's the benefit of them? And
I've loved belonging to them when I've been able to.
Yeah.
One of the challenges of working, you know, an hour and a half outside of downtown,
yes.
getting to the
yeah.
marketing association events. I think marketers do their best work when they're challenged to continue to elevate.
Yeah.
And marketing associations can play a tremendous role mm-hmm. in finding the best practices and,
yeah.
and telling people about them.
Yeah.
So, I've been to a number of events in BC
yeah. Yeah.
That I think have been really, really tremendous. The cool. BCAMA
yeah.
does some really good stuff. And
yeah.
I would encourage anybody who can find their way into yeah. those kinds of memberships yeah. to do that.
Yeah, it's true. We do. We live in a geographical area that's quite spread out. So yeah, yeah. I remember I first met you at the Terminal City Club. It was a BCMA event. But yeah, but that's a 3-hour drive, right?
Yeah,
there and back. For you. Yeah,
yeah. So when I worked in Richmond, it was always great to be able to just jump on the SkyTrain and go downtown. And
yeah,
can't do that when you're this far away.
Okay, so. Best sandwich that you've ever had in your life. That's what I want to close with here, Darren.
Best sandwich that I've ever had
yes.
in my life.
Yes.
So the Sprouted Ovens
yes.
Vegetarian lunch sandwich
okay.
is absolutely tremendous.
Okay.
You will not, if you are not a vegetarian
yes.
or vegan,
yes.
you will not know
okay.
that you're missing out on something if you have that for lunch. The freshness of the vegetables and the combination of
yeah.
crunch and sweet that's
yeah.
in there. Outstanding.
Okay.
Couldn't recommend it more highly.
Okay. And I assume they're not delivering outside of...
They are not delivering. So you got to come to Abbotsford to get yes. it.
Okay.
It's worth the drive.
Yep. Abbotsford. There's lots of other things to see in Abbotsford. The giant raspberry.
Tons of other things to see in Abbotsford. You go up the grind.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Because the Abbotsford grind is
yeah.
called, right? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You buy some lunch, spread it up,
yeah.
go up the grind, eat at the top.
Yeah.
Have a great view once the smoke clears and you're good to go.
This is awesome. Darren, thank you for coming
no
on the show. Really appreciate
this
it.
This is great.
Yeah. Thanks everyone for joining us this week on Marketing Jam. I'm sure you are as hungry as I am. Check out Silver Hills in your grocery store. If they don't have it, ask for it. It is not just delicious and healthy, but it's also a very fun package to look at for those that love good looking things in their home. Thanks everyone. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Marketing Jam. If you enjoyed the show, head over to our YouTube or Facebook and give us a thumbs up, and visit iTunes to leave a rating and review. Thanks again, and see you next time.